Father in heaven, we thank you again, Lord, for this morning. Thank you, Father, for this precious book we're fixing open, been already taught on this campus this day in Sunday school. And now we ask that you help us and order us with the Spirit of God to continue. May we learn something, be a blessing to us in life, not only to hear knowledge-wise, but to be able to make it applicable to our lives. Because knowledge is no good unless we put it into practice. And Lord, practice is what God honors God. As the world can only see the practice, they can't see what we know unless they see what we do. And we pray today this will be a service to help someone. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I think you may be seated. I want you to take your Bible and turn with me, if you will, over all the way over to the book of Psalms. And let's look at Psalms 138. Turn to Psalms 138. And this is a complete psalm. It only has about 8 verses in it. It's a psalm of David. And it's a wonderful psalm to look at because it tells us about ourselves. And my text is found in verse 8. But let's read it first and then we'll come get to the message. He says, I will praise thee, David does. I will praise thee with my whole heart. Before the gods will I sing praises unto thee. Notice he said with his whole heart. That meant he'd give him his whole self to this thing of praising God. And notice he did it before the gods. That is, he wanted anyone else who believed in any other God than Jehovah God of the Bible to know that this was his God and he was not ashamed of him. He said, I will worship towards the holy temple and praise thy name for thy love kindness and for thy truth, for thou hast magnified thy word above all thy name. Isn't that wonderful? This book right here is a powerful book. It's God's word. And David said that God has magnified his name, his word, which is truth, above his own name. Now watch, verse 3, very important. In the day when I cried, thou answerest me. Now I want you to notice something. He said, the day that I cried. David, you look at his life, he had a lot of adversaries in his life. There's a lot of things that took place against him. And of course, some of it's because of his own sin. He recognized that. But he had a battle constantly. And he said, in the day that when I cried, thy answerest me. But notice the latter part, that verse with the conjunction and. It seemed like at the time he may not have answered just like David asked the prayer, but God did answer in a way that strengthened him. And sometimes God knows we need more strength in our heart and mind maybe than the physical thing of answering a prayer. Because David said this, and the days when I cried, thou answerest me and strengthened me with strength in my soul. Isn't that amazing? He said, I cried out to God, and God strengthened me in my soul. That is, something about David brought him strength to handle things in life. Sometimes where it didn't look on the surface, maybe the world didn't even see an answer of prayer. But he said, something took place in my soul that settled me. You know what that is? That's that peace that the New Testament talks about that passes understanding. And so you get that when you serve God. He said, verse 4, all the kings of the earth shall praise thee, O Lord, when they hear the words of thy mouth. Yea, they shall sing in the ways of the Lord, for great is the glory of the Lord. Though the Lord be high, yet hath he respect unto the lowly. Aren't you glad of that? But the proud be known afar off. Verse 7, now watch, if I work verse 3 and verse 7 together, in the day when I cried, thou no answerest me, and strengthen me with strength in my soul, though I walk in the midst of trouble, thou wilt revive me. Only can you be strengthened the soul to understand that God has an answer of prayer when it comes to something to answer, and get an answer, and maybe not see it immediately, but somewhere down the road. And he said, thou shalt stretch forth thy hand against the wrath of my enemies, and thy right hand shall save me. David said, I don't seem to be having any victory a lot of time, but I know this. If my heart's where it should be, God will stretch forth his hands against the wrath of my enemies. And I can trust him for that. Then watch verse 8. We look at the text. He said, the Lord will perfect that which concerneth me. I love that. David said, I got a lot of problems, but you know what? I know who I'm studying. I know who I'm following. And the Lord will perfect that which concerneth me. An interesting word. He said, thy mercy, O Lord, endure forever. Forsake not the work of thy own hands. The word perfect simply means finished, bring to completion. In Colossians 2, verse 9 and 10, we've seen a few weeks ago that we're completely in Jesus Christ. Everything we have came to us at the time we were born into the family of God. and therefore we're complete in Him. Also, if you look in chapter 37 with me just a moment and read a couple of verses, here's another prayer where David said, and watch, he said in verse 23, chapter 37, the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his ways. Now, a good man, where would a good man start with the Lord? But one who obeyed him? What is the first thing on the agenda that God have us to obey him about? That's about his son, the Lord Jesus Christ. I don't think you can even obey God in any form or fashion that's pleasing him unless you start with his son. We start with him because that's the only way we can get in the kingdom. That's the only way we can find ourselves being born into the family of God. And he said, the step of a good man, order of the Lord, and he delighteth in his way, though he fall. I love that. Though that person who's in that place where God will order the steps of the Lord, though he fall, showing that we have problems at times, we don't have it all together. But though he fall, he said, notice, he shall not be utterly cast down. What a promise. For the Lord upholdeth him with his hand. I have been young, he said, David, and now I'm old. Yet I have not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. I'm not quite as old as David, but I tell you what, I've learned some of those truths together. I want to speak this morning on this subject. When you look in verse 8, the Lord will perfect that which concerneth me. I want to look at this, and this is the title. And it's an apt kind of a, maybe a off-the-wall title, but it's a good title, I think, because this, ladies and gentlemen, we are not mistakes in God. Mind. We are not mistakes in God's mind. We are not a mistake individual, or are we as individuals? Now, why would you say that? Because this verse helps me understand some things about life. When you think about mistakes, someone said making a mistake is much better than not doing anything. If you're not making some mistakes in life, someone said, you're not doing anything. The word mistakes means to recognize or identify incorrectly or to misinterpret something. And so when it comes to life, you will find a lot of people makes mistakes. I've read where there's two men who applied for an engineering job. One was from the location of the town, another one had just moved in. Both of these men had to take an exam that had exactly 10 questions on it. They had the same exam. Both of the men missed the number fifth question. And so when he found Bob, who was called, we called him Bob, the other was Bill. Bob asked the manager of the company why he did not get the job since he was from the town if they both missed the same question. And the manager said to Bob, he said, well, the reason for it, we based our decision not on the correct answer, but on the answer that you gave for number five. And Bob came back and said, well, how can one incorrect answer be better than the other if they're both wrong? And the manager said, well, Bob, you don't understand. Bill put down on the fifth question, I don't know. And you put down, neither do I. So he made a bad mistake, though he might have been honest at the time. But we're not a mistake of God. And I say that to lead into this thought. Today we're living, many are living on a philosophy called luck or called chance or some other name that has to do by chance and not by God who is controlled of this universe. And I say that God is control of this universe. Now there you have that denied many on charismatic today because they say if God's in control, then why is all the mess? Because God is not controlled if man does this. No, God may allow sin to run its course because sin is our biggest problem in this life. Sin is the murder and everything that comes from sin has to do with that which hurts us in this life. But God didn't cause sin. But God allows sin because of the wickedness of man's heart. And I tell you this, God can stop it anytime he wants to. That means he's got control of it. You don't think he can't bring Satan into control when he wants to? He sure can. He can do it now as good as good when he made him. So God can have control and is in control. By the way, if God has not got control, we got a hopeless mess. But he is in control. And I don't understand a lot of things that's happening today, but I'll tell you this. I know this, in the end result, he's going to win out. He's going to be there when everybody else is gone, insofar as this world is concerned. So you cannot have God and chance. For example, physical birth is no mistake. Physical birth is no mishap. And if you ask 3 weeks, I've heard someone make the statement like this. You ever married? How many children do you have? Have three, but one of them is a mistake. No, they won't. It might not have been, it might have been in their mind because they were practicing something that out of way and didn't want a child because they enjoyed the flesh. But I'll tell you this, birth is no mistake, ladies and gentlemen. God set up the right method of birth. And when that criteria is met, you're going to find birth will come. Today, many things happen when you have births because of genetic problems, and therefore, there's children are born with all kinds of problems for sometimes because the parent did something that was bad or for the child took drugs, whatever. But I'm telling you, God set the method up in reproduction for birth. Our parents may not have planned for some of us, but God did. Because when God set up reproduction in Adam and Eve, He set up for the human race, and He set up for the replenishment of the earth, and He set up to bring human beings into this world, and even to the place He knew was going to have to reborn some to get them to heaven, He still let it go that way. Amen. And I say to you today that how many, when you think about birth, how many times do you think that no matter what happens in birth, it is not a mistake? Because you put the ingredients together between a man and a woman, and there will be natural birth. So you got to have it, you got to have other ways. God was not surprised by your birth or my birth. In fact, He expected it. God Almighty created the law of reproduction at conception. So there is no mistakes there. Before you and I were ever conceived by our parents, ladies and gentlemen, we were conceived in the mind of God. Not by luck, not by chance, not by coincidence, but by the fact of how God set up reproduction process. That means that me understand that He knows things from the beginning. He knew before I was ever born. And we'll see that as David gives us some information here today. David said, "The Lord will fulfill His purpose in me." Psalm 38 verse. "Perfect that which concerneth me." Ladies and gentlemen, let me tell you something. God knows you inside and out. He knows every bone in your body. Anybody see the other night that young girl, which is about 4 or 5 years old, can name every bone in your body? Some doctors can't even do that, and they're bone specialists. Did you know God knows every bone in our body? Do you know He knows exactly how we're made? Did you know, ladies and gentlemen, He made us bit by bit, person by person, piece by piece, how you were sculpted from nothing into something? Psalm 39, verse 15, if you look over just one psalm. Look down in verse 13, Psalmist David said this. He said, "Thou hast possessed my rings, thou coverest me in my mother's womb. I'll praise thee, for I am fearfully wonderful made. Marvelous are thy works, and that my soul knoweth right well. My substance, everything that was made at conception, was not hid from thee. Even before the conception take, his substance not hid from God. I was made in secret and crucially wrought in the lower parts of the earth," in some way of setting forth the mother's womb. "Thine eyes did see my substance, yet been unperfect. Before I ever started, you saw who I would be." This is God, folks. I want to tell you something. This world don't know the God we're talking about like they should know Him. He's everything He says is and beyond that. And He goes on and He said, "And in thy book all my members were written, which is continuous, were fashioned, when as of yet there was none of them." The book you had for the way, God set up the DNA. God set up the process of reproduction. God set up how things would be and how things would come out with the chromosomes and so forth. And He said, before a child's ever born, God knew the substance before it got there. Therefore, there are no mistakes when it comes to these things of birth. We make mistakes in life by choosing to do something sometimes in turn, which makes things even worse. And then sometimes children suffer for that at the time. But I want you to know, before you and I were conceived, the Lord, David said, He fulfilled the purpose for me. God knows us. While there are illegitimate parents, there are no such things as illegitimate children. And I know I get a flack from that, but I'm telling you, reproduction works just like God said it would. I don't care how you bring it about. Ladies and gentlemen, God planned that a man, a male, a husband, and a female, a woman, a wife could reproduce and have a child through physical birth. The process is natural birth worked out. It works outside of marriage as much so as it does inside of marriage. God set it up. And every child that's ever born is precious in God's sight, no matter how he's born. Even a mother's own drugs and have a child come and says, a drug addict, still precious in God's sight when he's born into this particular world. Many children may be unplanned by their parents, but they are not unplanned by God. God set up birth, and I don't care when birth takes place, God already preconceived what's going to happen there. He knows that. He doesn't necessarily make things happen like we think He does at times, but He could. He can change things, but if something takes place in birth, it'll take place just like it should when it comes to male and female coming together. And I have to get this behind me to understand. Many children, again, like I said, nothing is unplanned by God because He set up birth. God knows exactly what's going to take place every time there's a birth coming. He knows it at conception. He knows it before conception. His plan will work when those ingredients come together. And I believe that God's purpose took into account of human error and even the sin of individuals. We need to study God's Word to know His heart. Do you really know God's heart, or are we thinking He knows our heart and that's all that really matters? God has a heart, and He wants us to know Him, and He gave us this book that we could look from Genesis to Revelation and study and know God's heart. Knowing God's heart is to be led by His Spirit in this book. And God in us is the only person who can remove self out of us so He can have access to our heart. 3 points quickly. We are not a mistake. Number one, God never does anything accidentally. You know that? Sometimes it looks like it, doesn't it? But He never does anything accidentally. God has a reason for everything. He designed with a purpose in mind. He has a purpose. He has a plan. He has a will. God designed this planet, environment, custom made with exact specification, which makes it possible for human life to live on this earth. You've heard me say many times, live closer to the sun, we'd burn to death. Live further away, we'd freeze. Isn't it amazing? We are just where we need to be until God sees fit to alter things. The Bible tells us that God is love. We've seen that last week. 1 John chapter 4, verse 11. Bible tells us that God is light. It doesn't say that God has love or can love or may love. It doesn't say God can have light or can make light. God is love. God is light. Love and light is essential, is the essence of God's character. So we can understand He's more than our mind can conceive. He's involved with our lives. And He loves us so much it breaks His heart to see what's going on the face of the earth today when it comes to that which is in His own image. God created human beings through the procreation in order to express His love, to express His light. He knew man was going to fall even before He created Adam, and He made the plan. If there was no God, think what would go on. If there was no God, we'd all be accidents. If there was no God, the result of life would be a random chance in the universe. If there was no God, life would have no purpose, have no meaning, have no significance. If there was no God, there would be no right or wrong, no hope beyond your brief life years in this earth. Because if there's no God, what is right and wrong? You've got to have someone who is perfect tell us what's right and wrong. And He's documented it. And so I say to you, the only accurate way to understand ourselves is by what God is and by what He does for us in this life. So the first thing I see about we are not mistakes in God's mind is God never does anything accidentally. He never has to say, you hear me? You remember that sign that goes and said, I wish I'd have took a V8? God never said, oh my, I should have took a V8. I didn't see that coming. He didn't say, I didn't think that was going to happen. That surprised me. God is never surprised. Amen. We are all the time, but He's not. God never does anything accidentally. Number two, our confidence is in the Lord. That's what David is saying. That's what David learned. Amazes me too, and David didn't have the Holy Spirit living in him, but he gives us a good example of what can be done when we obey God. David's confidence was not in his faith. Faith has to have a substance. Faith is not just faith itself. You have to have a substance of faith in turn that your faith can be in. And thank God it's God. So David's confidence is not in his faith. It wasn't in his love. It wasn't in his success. It wasn't in his stauntness of life. It wasn't in his money. It was not even in himself. If this is all that he had, his confidence would only be a dream without his Lord. And no way to say where it would come out or not come out. God works His will upon us, which directs the event of our lives. If you look in Psalms chapter 57 with me, just turn over there and look down in verse 2. David said this. He said it's a prayer of his. He said, I will cry unto God, Most High, unto God thy, that performeth all things for me. I'll turn to Him. The Old Testament is kind of like in a different form that Paul said as he speaks in the church of Philippi, to the church at Philippi in Philippians chapter 1, verse 6. Remember what Paul said? Been confident of this very thing. That He which has begun a good work in me will perform it to the day of Jesus Christ. Well, that's a blessing for the child of God. Being confident of this one thing, that He, if He's in me, will perform it to the day of Jesus Christ. He will perform it by my approach obedience to Him. If not, then I'll just come up short in heaven one day. But as far as what's going to be done, if I'm a true child of God, He wants us to give ourselves to Him wholeheartedly. That's what David said. I gave Him my whole heart. Not just, Lord, I give You this and I want to hide this part. I don't know about this thing, because the world cannot see Christ in us unless He has our whole heart. And He wants us to show that to them in this life. God works His will upon us, which directs the event of our life. If this is all we had, this confidence, His confidence wouldn't have been anything at all. As He works His will upon us, it directs our life in this life. It is not fate. It is not bad luck. It is not forces of random choices or statistics. It is the active will of God who performs all the thoughts of his heart, giving us choices to make in life for Him as we obey Him. This book gives us information about God's heart and what we can do to respond and what we can do when we don't respond. It's not left us ignorant. Folks, this book's going to be in heaven one day to give account of what we've done or not done in God's court. And then we'll realize how important this book is to us in this life. God's hand is molding the clay on the wheel of life, which is pleasant sometimes. Sometimes it's not pleasant. Sometimes it's difficult. Sometimes the sun's shining. Sometimes the sun's not shining. Sometimes it's storm. Sometimes it's pleasantness and peace. But it all comes together in this life. And it's from God's heart as He lets things work in the way that they should work. God is always working on our sanctification. That's setting us apart as Christians. If we're saved. If we're not saved, you don't have a bit of chance of God working anything, but get it. The only thing we're doing as unsaved is just getting worse to go to hell. The only thing that can change it around is a new birth. Physical birth gives us one direction without the second birth. John 3 tells us that, and Jesus was talking when He said that about the new birth. And so here, God's always working on us. And you find that this is our Christian character and Christian task in life as a child of God. Here people see God in us as He manifests Himself. Not what we are. If they see self only, that's only mustered up by the flesh. But if we see the things that God talks about biblically, then He's going to bring it into their minds as it's recessed into their mind and heart. 1 Thessalonians 4:3 said, God's grace molds us after the image of Christ in His life. We've been studying Romans 8. You remember in Romans 8:29? He said, through foreknowledge, we were predestined to be conformed to the image of His Son. Ladies and gentlemen, God had the desire to start with that if you get born into the family of God, if you get born physically, His desire is for them to be saved, right? He's not wishing any should perish, right? Right? Oh, me or amen or something. He's not wishing that anybody should perish. But on the other hand, ladies and gentlemen, for those who are saved, He's also wishing that they would find the means of His Word in their heart so He'd have an outlet through to this world for others who may not know Jesus Christ as Savior. And again, God's grace is molding us. Psalms 138:8, the Lord, David said, will perfect that which concerneth me. Isn't it amazing? I don't have no perfection in myself in flesh. If I let my mind go and the flesh go like it want to, it will override anything that I have for the Lord. But God says, greater is He that's in me that's in this world. I don't have to let this flesh dwell on me all the time. By the way, you have to fight it today because you can't look at anything without the flesh being attracted to it. Just try it. It'll come up every way you turn just about in life. And David said, the Lord will bring to completion His work concerning me. It may be in the way of difficulty. It might be at the moment of darkness. It might be at times when hopes may be dashed to pieces. But I'm telling you, wherever we're at, He's able to withstand us, uphold us, and He's able to preserve us when it comes to the things in life. The only thing He wants us to do to realize there is an attitude towards Him we should have as a child of God. And only be like a child in a home, a mother and dad. They don't understand all the time the correction ways that we might do as a child, but if a mother and dad really loves their child, the child, as a real child, without, junior or teenage age, I'm talking as a little child who knows nothing about being trained, most of the time, they look to mother and dad for directions. And they may whine or something, but they'll still tell you at that age, mother and dad knows best. You have to get a little older before you find out and think mother and dad don't know best. And then you have to have children. It comes back again. Yes, mother and dad did know best. Amen. Because it all comes that way. And thank God to understand in that. But here we find our confidence comes as we walk with God. Walk His way by faith through obedience in the hostile world. God's mercy never comes to an end. It endures forever. Jeremiah 33:11 said, the Lord is good, for His mercy endures forever. In Ephesians 2:4, Paul said that God, who is rich in mercy, that's the reason He can also save us. He's rich in mercy. He's also rich in grace. So God never does anything accidentally. And therefore, our confidence is in the Lord. There are no mistakes with God. There's mistakes with us. We read things wrong. We do things wrong, but not with God. Aren't you glad that he teaches us that in the child of God, what we fail or don't know, he's going to turn it around. It may not be good at the time, but in the end results, when you mix it together, there's a flavor coming out at the end that's God's child that's going to be a blessing. Amen. Serve him through thick and thin, adversity or peace. Serve him. In the end, you're going to come out. Then the last thing, God cannot deny himself. Titus chapter 1, verse 2 says, God cannot lie. I believe that, folks. Amen. I believe he cannot lie. He only says it one place there. So the work that he began, by his mercy shall be done. That's what Paul said, being confident of this very thing, that which he has begun working, you will perform it to the day of Jesus Christ. You see, if God begins it, and he begins it by being born again, a person who's not ever born again, the work's not there. The only work God is doing through the gospel is trying to draw that person under the sound of the gospel to come to knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ and be born into the family of God. But once we're born into the family of God, then there's responsibility to grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord. Where do we learn of that mercy? From this precious book. It is through the scripture that God gives self-disclosure by showing the difference between the work of God's grace in our heart and the absence of that grace in our life. Because if we're not manifesting the grace of God that's in our heart by the deeds that we do in this life, this world will never see it. It's like salvation. I can say that I'm saved and know I'm saved, you know, till I die physically. But if it's not something to show the world, they'll never know it. And by the way, just because we say we are, don't necessarily mean the world's going to believe it. Because they already heard a lot of stuff on us anyhow. They're fighting against us to start with. And they got to be more to it than just words. They have to actually be deeds. And so here, by the grace of God, the scripture reveals to us just what we are and what we can be in the Lord Jesus Christ. You cannot see the grace and the mercy of God through a telescope. You cannot see the grace and the mercy of God through a microscope. You can only see the grace and mercy of God through the Lord Jesus Christ, and that's by the Word of God that's taught to us by His Holy Spirit. Mercy and grace, ladies and gentlemen, offered by God is an amazing thing. And through this book, and through His Word, God reveals the fountain of His grace and mercy for thirsty souls. Ladies and gentlemen, the problem is today, I don't think there's too much thirst for God's Word. If you ever lived on a farm years ago and been backside of a field working and got thirsty and didn't have no water, and it was close to the afternoon, and you didn't want to go to the house that's too far away to get water, and you just waited and waited. Have you ever really been thirsty for water? I want to tell you, if you're thirsty for water, ladies and gentlemen, you want nothing else but water. Pepsi, as good as it is not, will not satisfy. Dr. Pepper, all those things. Tea will not satisfy. The only thing, God has worked it, so water is what really satisfies this body when it comes to a thirst. We're to be thirsty for God's Word. And everything else is not going to satisfy except God's Word. There is a spiritual thirst that God gives those through the giving of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And therefore, through Jesus Christ, we see some things that are that's really made. God reveals His grace and His mercy for the thirsty souls. It is here that we know that the unchangeable God, through Jesus Christ, ladies and gentlemen, will perfect everything concerning me as a child of God. And that's what David said in Psalms 138 in verse 8. I have this confidence. Even Paul, years later, said the same thing in a different way. I have this confidence that if I yield to Him and find through His Word my lot in life and His will for my life, God will perfect that for me in this life until I get home, as long as I obey Him. And it'll be a gradual thing, as Paul said, from glory to glory, from glory to glory, from glory to glory, as we step up in this life. So the question I have, we are not a mistake in God's mind as a statement, but the question I have, how can I know this as a child of God? How can I know this? Well, the question is this, are the things of God your concern? And I thought, earlier this morning, do your desire for mansions of glory, are they more than dwelling places on this earth? Is my faith the work of God's hands, or is it something I'm trying to do and ask God to bless it? Are we like David, that the Lord will perfect that which concerneth me as long as I find His will and His purpose for my life? what it may be, I think he will. I think David gave us that many years ago. Are you like the Apostle Paul, being confident of this very thing, that he which has begun a good work in you, notice, begin a good work in you. By the way, he didn't say just got saved. He didn't say that he just got saved, but he that begins a good work. If you get saved, there's a good work started in us, in you, and will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. Hebrews chapter 2, verse 17, 18. It was necessary that, the Bible said, that Jesus be like us. Why? Simply because he says that so he could know what it's like to suffer. He has suffered. He has been through suffering like we've never been. Therefore, he can satisfy us in our suffering. We'll never face anything that Jesus Christ hadn't already been through. And he can help us when we come to that in our life. So I say to you, God saw us before physical conception. For Psalm 139, verse 13 through 17 shows us that. You and I may feel sometimes, and I hear people at Constable Barber, and I counsel, and I miss her so much now because I can't counsel a lot of folks, because I just won't counsel anyone now without her being with me, because it's just too dangerous. When I say that, I mean simply this, for Sue and everything else. Nowadays, it amazes me. If I have to counsel, I have to say this now, according to CL Law. I have to say, I don't have a degree in psychiatry or psychology. But this book, and have it open at my desk, this book is where I get my information from. Everything I would give you would be biblical information that I believe comes from God. And you must understand that now. Now, if you want me to counsel, I'll finish. But if not, don't expect to come and get something that you get in the world, because I got a shingle on my door that says I'm a psychologist of psychology. I have a doctor in philosophy. I have a doctor in theology. But I don't have one in psychology. Amen. In psychiatry. This book is my answer to everything. And if I'm not willing to take this book, you might as well just leave me alone. I'll pray for you, but I want to tell you, ladies and gentlemen, I don't know what's going on. I'm from the old school, and I'll soon be gone. And a lot of folks said, I'll be glad of it. That's all right. God will be glad to have me home with him, too. That's what he saved me, to get me home with him. Amen? Amen. But I'm telling you, ladies and gentlemen, this is an unusual age that we're living in today. You may feel I'm not worth much in God's sight, but you are, because if you say, God's desire is to perfect you, ladies and gentlemen, that which concerneth you, is to actually perfect your faith in that which concerneth you. It's through these scriptures I finish. It's through the scriptures that we find we get the information. It's where God gives us self-disclosure about ourselves, showing us the difference between the work of grace, as I said, in our heart that God has performed, and the absence of that grace in our lives if it's not being manifested to a lost world. By the grace of God, the Scripture reveals to us just what we are and what we can be in Jesus Christ. And you cannot see this grace and this mercy any other place except through this book, or if this book is hitting the child of God's heart, manifested through you and I in the flesh. God has chosen to do that way. And so today, we're not a mistake. Somebody say, well, you just don't know my life. I must be a mistake. No, sirree. Every person born on this earth is not a mistake. If they're born physically, they're born because God set up the reproductive process and it will work. I say again, you take a woman, you take a female, you take a wife, you take a man, you take a male, and you take a husband, any form of those, and put them together and there will be birth. That's how God set it up. So therefore, let's understand this. That's the reason sometimes God can reach into a family somewhere or another where a child was raised in absolute hell on earth and call that person out, as long as he responds to him and use him as a giant for God. And that's the reason sometimes I think when I see things, Lord, I wonder by chance if that family, that person not going to be used of you because of adversities now. I wonder if that young child, you may get in that atmosphere to grow up, be used for you until Jesus comes. I wonder if that young girl would get enough ingredients in their life to know they're not a mistake. Sometimes young people feel like nobody really loves me because the world is just going to chaotic mess. God loves them. They're not a mistake. They are not something that just happened haphazardly. It came through the process of physical birth. Conception took place, and therefore, this beautiful child, man, boy, or girl, I should say, is born into the world. And there's a potential there if you can get them in the atmosphere under the sound of the gospel. Maybe the awe that they may feel by not being worth anything at this time, say, God, get me somewhere or another that I can know about you. Because I want to tell you something, folks. I guess every one of us in here sometime wonder if anybody loves us. God does. And he always will, no matter where you're at. And he will. And he'll give everything possible not to condemn until he has to at the last day. He gives everybody a chance to make things right until the last day. Once that's settled, then the court of God can only do two things: send a person to hell outside of Christ, or let one enter into the portals of glory in Christ. To enter into Christ is to get a glorified body one day in the future. To leave this world without Christ is to end up in eternity place called hell and eventually the lake of fire. I know they're not words that people like to hear today, but you can't read this book through without understanding about those terms. And I've got news to say to you here, those looking by radio in just a moment, those looking by Ustream right now, Jesus Christ died for you. You are not a mistake. You're not one that's been just to see how much you can take. You were brought to a point, and if you're in this life, you're going to have some adversities. You're going to have some serious problems. You're going to have some things you have to face. And therefore, we ought to realize, though, when everything seems against us, there's one that will always be for us, and that's God. Until he has to say, depart from me, I never knew you. You stand to your feet, please. Father in heaven, Lord, I think we need today hearts broken. And I believe they're going to see some disaster come to this country. Lord, all over this country, not just the Middle East while the storms are coming, that God's going to try to get our attention and realize life here should not be like it is in these last days. Man is so cloaked with his religion that he's dictating to God. And God can take that so long, but then there come a day in and say, no, no man dictates to me. I decide the eternity based on my influence, based on my word, based on my plan, based on my purpose. Lord, help someone to see that God loves him so much that he got a few across this planet Earth today who will stand in pulpits like this today and try their best, though it's limited, to explain the heart of God, to try to explain from the Word of God by the Spirit of God how much God loves individuals. And realize, Lord, the only way we can understand that is to be born into the family of God. Lord, help us test that in these days. Let us not let up on you must be born again in the latter part of this age. May it be hurled from every place that's possible where we go with word of mouth. God, help someone today to see they're not a mistake. They're not just so bad that things happen like they happen, Lord, but because what happens is this world's full of sin. And Lord, we need you. I want to thank you today for adversities because that draws your children close to you. Father, we have to realize that in this life, take an atom, smallest thing we have in matter, everything in this building is made of atoms. It starts out with a single atom, Lord, and when you split that, you don't have two halves. When you split it, an atom, it can lead to the most dreaded atomic explosion there is. It affects everything around it. Lord, when we have the unity of the home, you come together, two people being one, it's not easy. But Lord, when we come together, that unit, when it's split, don't have two halves. It affects everything around it. It's like an atom, the bomb that explodes. It affects everything. It affects the individual. It affects the family. It affects those kin folks. It affects everything in life. Help us understand, Lord. Sometimes we don't have much, but what we have, we need to ask God to help us with that. So somehow or another in this life, you'll be honored and you'll be praised and you'll get glory. Now, Father, I bet if I could see every heart here as you see mine, hearts are heavy today, problems are in each one. Each one of the parts here has got something. It may not be the same, but it's something. Sometimes we wonder, Lord, where you're at. We're so used to instant now in this life, we think everything should come instantly. But not with God. God said, wait on him. Wait on him. Trust him. Wait on him. Wait on him. Wait on him. The end results would come. David said, he's perfected everything that concerneth me. God, help us grow enough to know that whatever comes our way, David said, God is using everything to perfect what concerneth me. Save us all today. Honor yourself, God. Exalt the Lord Jesus Christ. Holy Spirit, help us yield to thee to understand how it works. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.